Good Erev Pesach, everyone. So we have made it. We have reached the Pesach finish line in Tavshin Pei, one way or another. Our Seder plans 2 months ago are unlikely the same Seder plans that we will actually implement tonight. And it's tough. It's very difficult for some of us, for many of us probably. And perhaps we can draw inspiration at this point in time from three other times in Jewish history that our community has had to deal with an epidemic. For our first story, let us travel to Posen in 1831 and visit Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was born on November 8, 1761 in Eisenstadt, which then belonged to Hungary. He was a child prodigy, and at the age of 12, he went to study at the yeshiva of the Gaon Rav Yitzchak Yosef Taomim in Breslau, where he remained for 6 years. At the age of 18, he married the daughter of the wealthy Rav Yitzchak Margaliot of Lisa, and he devoted himself to Torah study. He was a rabbi for 25 years, first in West Prussia and then in Posen. He had a large yeshiva, and his students flocked to see him. In the autumn of 1830, cholera, an infectious disease, erupted in Moscow. And in the spring of 1831, it reached Finland and Poland, and it then passed into Hungary and Germany. In 1831, a cholera epidemic broke out in Germany and spread to Posen, where Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived. More than 600 people died among the Christian population, but among the Jews, only a few perished. Entire portions of the city were quarantined and forbidden to be entered. Rabbi Akiva Eiger issued decrees of what the people were to do during the epidemic. He supplied the poor with food, and he even taught the people the basics of hygiene. And he also organized special committees to ensure that these decrees were kept. King Frederick III of Prussia heard of this heroism of this very famous rabbi, and he honored Rabbi Akiva Eiger with a special medal. This story of Rabbi Akiva Eiger tells us that during these trying times, we must perform acts of chesed. We must do what we can to help those that cannot help themselves during this pandemic. And Baruch Hashem, our community has stepped up. We have heard of Jews who have donated more than 120 oxygen concentrators to medical organizations in New York and New Jersey, costing tens of thousands of dollars. We have heard about dozens upon dozens of WhatsApp groups that opened with hundreds of volunteers doing grocery and medicine shopping for elderly and homebound people in isolation. And we have heard of about hundreds or thousands of bottles of hand sanitizer being donated to first responders. In the spirit of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we have responded to this pandemic with an overflowing outpouring of chesed. For our second story, let us travel to Vilna in 1848 to visit Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Lipkin, better known as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, was the founder of the Mussar movement in the 19th century. The cholera pandemic mentioned before had lasted between 1829 and 1852 and spread throughout all of Europe. In Western Europe, the contagion waxed and waned, but the infection spread continuously in Eastern Europe and Russia, killing millions. At this time, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was living in Vilna. The town was hit hard by cholera in the summer of 1848. In the early fall, as the fast day of Yom Kippur approached, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was concerned that fasting would make the community more vulnerable to this disease. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter publicly advocated suspension of the fast that year. He said, and I quote, "When trouble comes to a man, he must look to his deeds, and not only to those which concern him and the Almighty, but to those which concern himself, to his body, to his flesh, to his own health. There are times when one must turn aside from the law, if by so doing a whole community may be saved, with the consent of the all-present and with the consent of the congregation. We give leave to eat and drink on the Day of Atonement. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter ate and drank on Yom Kippur of 1848, and he publicly advocated that everyone in his community eat and drink as well. Sometimes during times of crises, rabbinic leaders must make bold, innovative, and unprecedented halachic decisions. And we have witnessed such leadership from our rabbinic authorities, Rav Schachter and Rav Willig, among others. First, as they demanded that shuls be closed down, and then coming up with leniencies for Pesach observances, allowing use of electronics in situations where there are certain mental health concerns, and even telling Rabbanim, if need be, that they should keep their phone on and answer questions by phone on Yom Tov that may give rise to potentially life-threatening situations arising from possible mental health crises associated with being alone and in solitary for 3 days. Following in the footsteps of Rav Yisrael Salanter, we have responded to this pandemic with bold, innovative halachic rulings that have balanced safety and sensitivity with fidelity to our holy Mesorah, to our holy tradition. For our third story, let us visit Rav Moshe Isserles, or the Rama, in Krakow in 1556. Rav Moshe Isserles, the Rama, was one of the most important Ashkenazic poskim, halakhic authorities in Jewish history. Against the backdrop of the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Cairo's Sephardic-oriented codification of Jewish law, the Rama wrote glosses that accounted for Ashkenazic practice. Our community has been turning to his words ever since, for the better part of the last 500 years. In Yoredeya, Simon Kuf Tezayin, Seif He, section 116, subsection 5, the Rama innocently writes that one should flee a city when there is a plague, and you should leave at the beginning of the plague and not at the end, and in fact you should not rely on miracles or endanger yourself. And in fact, in 1556, Rav Moshe Isserles fled from his home in Krakow due to an epidemic. The Rama was not only a halachic scholar, but he was also a Kabbalist. And in 1556, he wrote a mystical commentary on Megillas Esther called Mechir Yayin. And in his introduction to this halachic work, he explains why he wrote it. In that year, a cholera epidemic broke out in the city of Krakow, and the Rama was forced to flee. He ended up in a tiny Polish village called Żydlaw. There was nothing there, he writes. It was desolate and deserted. He could scarcely find food and water. But Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchei Lev. The words of the Torah are a source of joy. And so the Rama decided to write a book during that Purim. He turned to God and to his holy Torah in his state of despair. And he wrote this Sefer Mechir Yayin. He created Torah during this epidemic of 1556. And in this pandemic of 2020, we have been doing chesed, and we have made bold halachic decisions. And let us also follow in the Rama's footsteps and grow in Torah this year, even during this particular Seder. I know it will be challenging this year to find our inspiration without family, without friends. For some of us, this year, the Seder, leading the Seder, will be very daunting. Who am I to be the one to come up with a different Torah for this Seder? It's normally someone else. And we may be asking ourselves, what should I do? What can I do during this Seder? Well, maybe that's the point of the story of the five rabbis who during the Seder in Roman times, were sitting in Bnei Brak. Rav Menachem Taksin, the Yalkut Taksin, writes that the Seder in Bnei Brak with Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Tarfon, and others. This Seder took place during difficult times, during the Hadrianic persecutions, where the Romans did not allow the Jews to have a Seder. but they did their best, leaving Yerushalayim and conducting a Seder in hiding. Nevertheless, these rabbis were not satisfied with having a minimal Seder in hiding. They made the best of it, and they stayed up all night discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim, discussing the Exodus, even at difficult times. They did not allow their dark times to compromise their religious experience. They continued to learn about Yetzias Mitzrayim, even in desperate times, all night long. Ah, so you'll say, who am I? I'm not a Rabbi Akiva. I'm not a Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. I'm not a Rabbi Tarfot. Yeah, they came up with Torah all night, but who am I to come up with Torah? Well, that's why, says Rav Hershel Schechter, Dibra Torah keneged arba banim. That's why the Torah speaks to four different sons. Because the Torah addresses all different types of people to teach us that the Torah is for anyone and everyone in all situations, in all different modalities. Not only can the rabbis in Bnei Brak experience the Exodus, but so can we. Dibra Torah keneged arba banim. This year, you don't have anyone to lead on, so this is your year. This is your moment. This is our moment. The Torah is speaking to each and every one of us, especially during this year. This is our moment to shine. The Torah is speaking to us even in 2020. And there is a halachic requirement to tell over the story, derech she'ela u'teshuvah, by way of asking and answering like an excited child. And maybe this is your year to be that child, to feel that passion, to express that curiosity, to realize that the excitement and passion during this Pesach will only come from you. And maybe if you dig down inside deep enough, you may discover something so special. We may discover something so new about ourselves. This is our moment to shine. Listen, I don't know why God did this. I don't know why we are alone this Pesach. I don't know why we are without family. I do not know why we are without friends. But now that we are alone, now is the time to be like the Ramah in 1556, to reach deep down inside each and every one of us, to realize that we can passionately study our beautiful Mesorah, our beautiful tradition on the night of the Seder, even in difficult times, just like our ancestors did in Bnei Brak. To realize the Torah speaks to everyone. Dibra Torah keneged arba banim. It can speak to us even this year. And we can have the excitement that maybe our children and our grandchildren have each and every year. Derech she'ela u'teshuvah. And we can rekindle a passion that may have been dormant inside of us for so long. Maybe we won't write a sefer like the Ramah did 500 years ago on Purim during an epidemic. But maybe each one of us could write some new Torah, some of our own personalized Torah, this year at the Seder. And let us all remember how Rav Kook defines Pesach. You may think that Pesach means to pass over, that Hashem passed over us as we sat in our homes while the plague was out of the streets of Egypt on the night of our freedom some 3,000 years ago. But Rav Kook explains that the word Pesach comes from the word Poseach al shtei seifim, hopping between two opinions, not passing over, but poseach, hovering. We are stuck inside our homes on Pesach trying to protect ourselves from the plague. But God is not simply passing over us on this night, but He is hovering over us. He is protecting us as He loves us so deeply. And we pray that during these challenging times, as we try to reinvent ourselves in the spirit of Rabbi Akiva Eger, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and the Ramah, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may God provide our community with the strength and the blessings to emerge from this pandemic stronger than ever. I would like to wish each and every one of us a Chag Bari Kasher V'Sameach.